Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Isn't that a wonderful sentiment? Doesn't it bless us to know that our God loves us so much? I appreciate God's gift to me in allowing me to work with Alan and the team that puts together, that takes care of the video and the sound and all of those different things. There's amazing gifts being used behind the scenes all the time. And God puts it all together. And this last week, as I was preparing for the lesson, I had a couple of topics I was tossing about in my head. And then Alan reminded me it's graduation Sunday. And I thought, wow, what an opportunity. What a great thing. And so Alan and I began talking somewhat about the lesson. And then he put together these beautiful communion thoughts that tie in directly with some of the things that I'm going to be talking about. How we have been called out of the world. We are different. This morning, I want to look at four young men in the book of Daniel. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn over to Daniel 1. We'll also have the scripture on the screen. They were entering a land they had never been to, being taken in captivity. I remember when I left Texas City, Texas, with my parents on my way to the University of Texas. And I had never seen the campus before. Can you imagine what it's like for a young man who's been in this small town to come into Austin and then to see that the campus is almost as big as a city? It was like, oh my, what did I do? There was a little bit of fear in me as I entered this new place and then figured out there was always constant dreams of, I'm never going to make it to class on time. You know, because you had to get across campus, and if you missed the shuttle bus and you couldn't find a parking place, and it was, you know, and there was a lot of anxiety in me. And I think about these men, these young men, probably around the age of 17 or so, being taken. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1 and let's take a look at it. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia, and he put it in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Asphanas, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the young Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God, always with us, had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. And the king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about the king, which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Many of you have read this story. Many of this, you know this story by heart. Maybe some of you have never heard it before. But I want to point out some things that I think are important for those that are graduating as you go into a new environment, as you go into a new situation. I want you to think about that. Many of us in our daily life will walk into new situations, new environments. And how do we handle ourselves? And how do we deal with what comes at us? One of the things I want you to think about is these people wanted to change them. First of all, they changed their name. They changed Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's names. They gave them Babylonian names. And I believe that this was an attempt to take away their identity, to remake their image, and to draw them into the Babylonian culture. The world wanted to change them. Babylon wanted to change them. They wanted to take away their past. They wanted to take away their families, their friends, their heritage, their home. They wanted to take away their God and their faith. And they were placed under the care of Ashpenazah, the chief court of the officials, who was to do this. He was the one that was making these things happen. It was his job to see that they were educated in the culture and traditions of Babylon. The training program was supposed to last 3 years. Now think about our college programs are 4 years. The first thing Ashpenazah did was change their name. Daniel's name, which in Hebrew means God is my judge, was changed to Belteshazzar, meaning Bel's prince. Bel was the patron god of Babylon. Hananiah, whose name means the Lord is gracious, was changed to Shadrach, meaning illumined by the sun god Shamash. Think about what's happening here. Mishael's name was changed from who is like God to Meshach, meaning who is Ishtar, the Babylonian queen of heaven. And Azariah, which means the Lord is my help, became Abednego, the slave of Nabu, who was the Babylonian god of wisdom and education. As our grads begin a new journey, and as we begin stepping into new situations in our life, I think this is what the world wants to do to us. Wants to change us and make it into more the image of the world. Sometimes we are given titles in our respective roles, whether they're jobs or in education. And I have seen, and education is good. Jobs are good. We all need those things. But I think sometimes I have seen the world, the Babylon of the world, suck the heritage and the life and the faith out of people. And so I want our graduates to really be thinking about this as they approach a new beginning in their life, a new time in their life. New people will be around them. Realize that there may be people that want to change you into what they want. They're going to make you into something else. They want to make you into what they want to make you into. Daniel and all of his friends were given jobs. But here's the thing about Daniel and his friends. They never forgot who they were. They never forgot where they came from. They never forgot who their God was. And that's what I want our graduates to remember. Never forget those things that you have been taught, those seeds that have been planted in your life and in your heart, and that God will make grow. But let me tell you what, the world wants to change your name. It wants you to honor the things of this world. And I've seen it happen. And it breaks my heart when I see people who once believed strongly in God and believed, and then they go to all these classes and then on philosophy and science, and then they come back and say, well, I'm not sure there's a God. Change them. Please don't ever forget who you are. And that's a message for all of us as we face changes and circumstances in life. Don't let the world make you into its image, because God wants to make you into His image. Secondly, they even changed the food that they ate. Makes me think of that phrase, you are what you eat. Well, the Babylonians wanted them to serve them the food of their gods, of their king. You can be certain that that food was sacrificed to idols. But Daniel understood the law of the Lord, and that it required him to abstain from certain foods. He requested that they be allowed to eat only the foods that God allowed. And he made a promise to Ashpenaz, not only that they would survive, but they would be better. Did Daniel make them better? No, God made them better. God was with them because their hearts were with God. Daniel understood that obedience to God trumped obedience to man. And that's something that's so critical for us as we face situations in life. Graduates, as you face professors who do not believe in God, who don't care about it, employers who do not believe in God. Obedience to God always trumps obedience to man. He would never forsake God's command. Daniel knew that eating the king's food would defile him. Remember what James 1:27 says? Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Man, is that hard to do? Oh my, that's so hard to do. Especially in the world that we live in. The world feeds us all kinds of garbage. It wants us to eat that garbage, so that our minds and our bodies will be filled with that garbage, and then it taints our spirits. It's a real challenge in our world today. And I also think that sometimes fear enters, because the world gives its commands, and we are afraid that if we don't follow those commands, then we're not going to be successful. But look at what happens with Daniel and with Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah. As they submit themselves to God in the midst of a people they don't know, it provides amazing truths for us. Look at these results. Verse 15 and verse 20. At the end of the 10 days, they look healthier, better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Let me tell you what, God is with you when you stand with Him. He will bless you. He will lead you through it. In verse 20, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, they were 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. 10 times better. But these decisions didn't affect their life and death situation, but there would come a time when it would. There would come a time for these men that they had to make the decision between life and death, whether to obey God or to obey man. We see this happen when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in chapter 3 won't bow down to the image of gold that the king makes. And I'm not going to go into details of the story because time doesn't allow it. But I want you to see the response, to see where these men's hearts were as they faced this critical situation. Daniel 3, 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into a blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us." Do you think about that? When you're facing difficult situations and when you have to make difficult decisions, God can deliver you. But look at what they say. And he says, "And he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. But even if he does not..." Can we say that? "Even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and worship the image of gold you have set up. We will not." Can you tell a professor that? Can you tell an employer that? And not be fearful? Even with life and death decisions, our God intervenes. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 25 through 27, Nebuchadnezzar says, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like a son of the gods." See, they were thrown in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar sees something that he can't even fathom. He approaches the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." Now, I want you to see what happens here. Something really critical happens here. Their faith causes Nebuchadnezzar to acknowledge Almighty God. Causes him to see that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is the God of all. And it changes his perspective. Let me tell you what. You go out there in that world and you have a heart for God like these young men, and I don't care what professor you have, I don't care what employer you have, you can influence them by the way you live your life. And every one of us is called to do that. We are called to live in the world, but not be of it. That's the challenge for us. It continues, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. This is the God we serve. And whether he rescues us or not, will we serve him? Will we live for him every single day of our life?" It's a decision that every one of us has to make. So graduates, you're stepping out into the world. You've got to remember whose you are, who you belong to in the face of whatever you come in contact with out there. Because as 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. And here's our task. It's a task for all of us. "That we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light." Challenges constantly in the scripture that help us to know how to live in this world but not be of it. Challenges for our graduates. Challenges for me as I live every single day. There may be someone here this morning that is not living under the protection of God and has not decided to live for Him. And if you desire that, we can help you with that. We can show you the scriptures that call you to obedience, that call you to believe in our mighty God who does powerful things like this in the lives of His people. If we ran around this room, I'm sure you could tell stories, maybe that don't rival a fiery furnace, but that can sway and persuade people that God is active in your life. So if you have a desire to belong to Christ, there's an opportunity this morning. Maybe you just need prayer because maybe you haven't been standing like these men against the world. Maybe you've let the world change your name. Maybe you've been eating its food. And maybe you're ready to put that aside and live for God. Whatever your need is, we have elders that are in the front and in the back. If you need privacy, you can talk to them in the back. There's some in the front. And we will be glad to pray with you and for you, for God to help you and give you the strength. I'm sure these men prayed for each other all the time. We know they prayed daily, but they would not bow to the idol. May God give us strength to never bow to the idol. If you have a need, please come as we stand and sing.